Leviticus chapter 27, verses 30 through 34. This is the word of the Lord. Every tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wishes to redeem some of his tithe, he shall add a fifth to it. And every tithe of herds and flocks, every tenth animal of all that pass under the herdsman's staff, shall be holy to the Lord. One shall not differentiate between good or bad, neither shall he make a substitute for it. And if he does substitute for it, then both it and the substitute shall be holy. It shall not be redeemed. These are the commandments that the Lord commanded Moses for the people of Israel on Mount Sinai. This is the word of the Lord. I suppose I should begin by apologizing if I misled any of you. The week before last, I said that we had reached the end of Leviticus, but I meant that we had reached the end of the book, not the end of our consideration of the book. But lest you despair, we have now reached that as well. Almost. The last chapter of Leviticus is often seen as somewhat odd, as an odd ending to an odd book. And we might not expect that a book whose climax is the Day of Atonement, that such a book would end with a discussion on tithing. But that is exactly how Leviticus ends. And so we might find it rather anticlimactic, rather disappointing. But I hope you find it otherwise. That every time you read Leviticus, you find it otherwise. For Leviticus ends with glory. Leviticus ends with the hope of glory. The tithe marks the end of Leviticus. And why? Because the tithe marks the end of the harvest. The offering of a tithe, once fully given, it comes at the end. The fullness of a tithe comes from the fullness of one's work. The fullness of one's tithe is determined by the entirety of one's work, by the entirety of the harvest, by the fullness of the harvest, by the completion of the harvest. The offering of first fruits, that comes at the beginning of the harvest. The offering of first fruits marks the beginning of the harvest. The offering of the tithe, the fullness of the tithe, that marks the end. We may say that the offering of first fruits consecrates one's work to the Lord at its beginning. The offering of the tithe, the fullness of the tithe, it completes one's work to the Lord at its end. What then was the purpose of the tithe? It marked the completion of one's work to the Lord. It marked the completion of one's obedience to the Lord. Remember, Leviticus chapter 26, the chapter before this chapter, what was it all about? It was about obedience. It was about the necessity of obedience. The necessity of obedience to bring about the fullness of God's blessing. And what is the fullness of God's blessing? It is God Himself. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 11. I will make my dwelling among you, and my soul shall not abhor you, and I will walk among you, and will be your God, and you shall be my people. That is the fullness of God's blessing. God Himself. God with us. But what was required for the fulfillment of that blessing? That it might be given? Perfect obedience. Perfect obedience to the covenant was necessary. Perfect obedience to the covenant was necessary for the fulfillment of this blessing, for the attaining of this blessing. The tithe comes at the end. The tithe, it marks the completion of that obedience. For it comes from the fullness of one's work. Now, as we've worked our way through Leviticus, noted several times how Israel failed to offer that obedience. Israel failed to offer the obedience required. And so we should not be surprised to find that Israel failed to offer the tithe required. And indeed, that is how the Old Testament ends. The Old Testament ends with this indictment, that the failure of Israel to keep the covenant, and with the failure of Israel to offer its tithe. We hear this indictment in Malachi in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7. There the Lord says, "From the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes and have not kept them." This is the very language of Leviticus chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 3. "If you walk in my statutes and observe my commandments and do them, then I will make my dwelling among you." Israel failed to walk in his statutes. Israel failed to keep his commandments. But how? How exactly had Israel failed to do these things? What was it exactly that God had in mind in Malachi chapter 3? He goes on to tell us. Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. "Will man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. But you say, 'How have we robbed you?' In your tithes and contributions. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the whole nation of you." Israel failed to keep the covenant. Israel failed to be obedient. And so, of course, Israel failed to offer the tithe required. But the tithe was the completion of one's work. The tithe was the completion of one's obedience. And so Israel's failure to offer that tithe, it was the completion of their disobedience. And the indication that they were under a curse. So in Malachi chapter 3, God calls his people to repent, to return to him. Listen to what he says. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. "Bring the full tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and thereby put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour down for you a blessing until there is no more need." Bring the full tithe into the storehouse. And what does the fullness of the tithe bring? It brings the fullness of blessing. The fullness of the tithe brings the fullness of blessing. The opening of heaven and the pouring down of a blessing that leaves one without need or want. Fullness of the tithe, it brings the fullness of blessing. Because the fullness of the tithe, it marks the completion of one's work and obedience. So again, it makes good sense for Leviticus to end with the tithe. Leviticus ends with the expectation of the fullness of blessing.
for the completion of obedience, and the fullness of the tithe that brings the fullness of blessing. And consider what it means for the heavens to be opened. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 1. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. The opening of the heavens in Isaiah chapter 64, it also brings the fullness of blessing. And why? Because the opening of the heavens brings the Lord Himself. The opening of the heavens brings the coming of the Lord. When will God make His dwelling among you? When will God walk among you? When the fullness of the tithe is brought in. When the obedience required is fulfilled. The Old Testament ends with the same expectation and longing with which Leviticus ends. A desire, a longing for the fullness of the tithe, for the opening of the heavens, for the coming down of the Lord. The fulfillment of His promise. I will dwell among you. I will walk in your midst. That is how the Old Testament ends. And how does the New Testament begin? Does the New Testament begin? With the baptism of Jesus. For the fulfillment of all righteousness. And what happens? The heavens are opened. The Spirit of God comes down and rests upon Him. The desire with which the Old Testament ends, it is fulfilled at the beginning of the New Testament. Is fulfilled in Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus of Nazareth, the hope of Leviticus, the hope of the Old Testament, is fulfilled. For the baptism of Jesus at the beginning of His ministry, it was a sign of His death and resurrection to come at the end of His ministry. That is, at the end of His ministry on earth, which is the beginning of His ministry in heaven. To the perfect obedience of Christ. To the perfect righteousness of Christ. To the perfect offering of Christ. The heavens have been opened and the fullness of blessing has been poured down. for the resurrected and ascended Christ, who has been filled with the Spirit beyond measure. He has poured out that same Spirit upon you.
He has poured out the fullness of blessing upon you. His people, his body, his bride. And so it is that even now, God dwells among you.
Even now, God walks among you. You now enjoy what the saints of the Old Testament for thousands of years could only long for. A hope they lived for. A hope they died for. The completion of obedience. The opening of the heavens. The pouring out of God's Spirit upon His people. You now enjoy something far greater than the saints of the Old Testament ever enjoyed. And yet this is only the beginning of your joy. It is not the end. Is not the end of your joy. For what you now have, you have by faith. But one day you will have it by sight. Remember the tithe. The tithe marks the completion of the harvest. The tithe comes from the end of the harvest. The tithe marks the fullness of the harvest. It is given at the completion. It is given at the end. The harvest begins with the first fruits. And the harvest ends with the tithe. If Christ is the first fruits of the harvest, then you are the tithe of the harvest. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 20. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order, Christ the first fruits. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end. when the heavens will be opened, when the Lord will come down, when the dwelling place of God comes down out of heaven, when God at last, by sight, makes his dwelling among you, when you will see him walking among you. That is the end of your joy. And it is a joy without end. The church is the tithe of Christ. The raising of the church from the dead unto glory. It marks the end of the harvest. It marks the end of the age. It marks the completion of Christ's work. The fullness of his reward. The reason for which he suffered and died. That you might be his people. That God might be your God. But for how long? For how long will you be his people? For how long will he be your God? Leviticus ends with an interesting choice of words. In the second to last verse, what do we read? It shall not be redeemed. Now, when we think of redemption, think of something good. Our salvation involves redemption. There is no salvation without redemption. And so we might be inclined to understand these words as something negative. So we might think that Leviticus ends on a sad note. But quite the opposite. Leviticus ends with glory. Leviticus ends with joy. What we read here of the tithe, it is what we read of a vowed offering, and what we read of the firstborn. It belongs to the Lord. The tithe belongs to the Lord. And what belongs to the Lord cannot be substituted. It cannot be taken back. And if there is a substitute, not only is the substitute holy, that for which it was substituted is also holy. It shall not be redeemed. It cannot be redeemed. It cannot be taken back. It cannot be taken away. What then does that mean? It means that it cannot be taken from the Lord. It means that the Lord will not be robbed of what belongs to Him. It means the Lord will not be robbed of you. Christ was made a substitute for you in order that you might be redeemed and in order that you might not be redeemed. In order that you might be redeemed from sin and death, and in order that you might not be redeemed from the Lord. You are the tithe of Christ. You are the completion of His work in this world. You will not be redeemed. You are holy to the Lord. You belong to the Lord. You will not be redeemed from Him. No one can redeem you from Him. No one can snatch you from His hand. No one can separate you from His love. He will not be robbed of you. God is for you. Who can be against you? God is with you. For how long? Forever. World without end. The church is the tithe of Christ. What then shall we say to these things? Oh, that you would rend the heavens and come down. You are the tithe of Christ. What then shall we say to these things? Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Let us pray.